This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is an encore presentation.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the most exciting, entertaining, and only sometimes informative show on Earth. That's Radio Law Talk. It's April 22nd, 2023. Thank you for being here. We love having you. I'm here with my co-host, Todd Kunin, Denise Dirks, and our producer, Cal Hunter. Been around for over 6 years we've been doing this. Six years. This is awesome.
I'm still handing out cards, too.
Oh, that's crazy. Getting I can't believe bigger it's been and bigger 6 years. I know. We're going to talk about some Samurai Sword College student. We're going to talk about why L.A. School District is getting sued. We're going to talk about a 13-year post-murder trial that's just bizarre and interesting. Because it's bizarre that we use words as attorneys. This is bizarre and interesting murder. You know, to us, see, in the legal community, it's just, this is what we do. And for us, it's, you know, it's almost like a brain tweezer. Sometimes people like to do those, you know, a brain twister, as they call them. You know,
yeah.
Just do those little fun, you know, games. And that's, for us, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's our way of being creative with what we do,
right,
which is normally sometimes boring, the law, right?
Right.
This is our way of being creative with the law.
And we're not boring, Denise, with Radio Law Talk. We make it fun and
exactly,
interesting.
Exactly. That's the point.
What happens, Denise, when you allow to have a party with underage youth and you serve and or allow alcohol? We're going to tell you what happens.
Or more.
Yeah, there might be other things going on that you know about. And by the way, Fred Penny has had lawsuits and brought cases like this before as a personal injury lawyer. What happens at those events? Look, we're going to talk about a deadly limo crash. I didn't want to get into details with it, but this is one of the deadliest limo crashes, and whether or not there's prosecution of the limo driver, we're going to go into that. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. Remember, general topics of law is all we're talking about. Seek counsel. We're not giving you legal advice. Woo! I feel better after that. No, we can't get sued.
It's no fun.
Yeah, it is. Well, Cal, everybody comes for one simple thing.
Oh, to
what
play along.
They come for? They come to play along
play
with
along.
Case or no case.
Now it's time to play case.
Call
or
us
no
at
case.
855. If you want to call, look, if you want to call in at 855-529-7234. I know people don't like calling in and leaving talking about cases, but you don't have to get on the air. You can just call in and say, hey, Cal, I say this is the deal. So go ahead, Cal.
Like, after all of this winter's flooding, Cleve Daggerett saw something offshore of his oceanfront home in Oregon. A very nice sailboat. So Cleve decided he would go out there 15 miles off the coast, hooked up to the sailboat, and pulled it in. And then Jameson Rolls, about 15 miles up the coast, had posted his beloved vessel, the Wave Queen, was missing. Cleve said, you know, it was more than 12 miles off the coast, and it was abandoned there for a while, and so it's in international waters. It's an abandoned vessel. So guess what? Mr. Daggerett says, it's mine. Whereas the previous owner says, no, it's mine. And, Fred, the question is, case or no case? Abandoned vessel, international waters, whose is it?
Well, you said, I guess the case is finders keepers, losers weepers, is what you're saying?
Well, I mean, there are some people who would claim that.
Finders keepers, losers weepers. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, that's what we'll call this one, finders keepers.
Yes.
Put that down.
Yeah, put that down.
Finders keepers, losers weepers.
Yep. In the boat. Yeah.
International waters law. Actually, one of my attorneys has worked on that and handled those type of cases, but I don't do that. And the answer is, no, it is not. Just because it's floating out in the middle of the ocean does not mean it's yours. You have not bargained for that. There is nothing that you have done to receive. That's what's called just enrichment. I'm sure there's other laws on that I don't know and I don't handle. So I'm going to say There's no way that this is this individual's, can say it's his boat. The question is it a case? I'm going to say no, it's a scenario, but not a case.
Okay, Todd, what do you think about the case of Cleve Daggerett and the Wave Queen and the previous owner, Mr. Rolls?
Well, I think that the person that found it, who's claiming it, Cleve Daggerett,
mm-hmm.
Needs to cleave unto a different understanding of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, he might not know whose boat that is, but he knows whose it isn't.
He knows it's not his.
He knows,
right?
It's not his boat.
Yeah.
And if he goes and hooks up the boat, even if in international waters, right, he goes and hooks up the boat and then takes it back to shore, takes it back to his locale. Now he's within the jurisdiction of that state.
Oregon.
And in possession of stolen property, because he knows, I mean, where you steal the property doesn't really matter. It's that you are in possession of something in a jurisdiction, and you know it's not yours, and you know it's stolen because you stole it. And so I think that it is a case, and I think that Cleve loses because, you know, there's probably something, and I don't know what it is, there's probably something that says, okay, maybe you have a claim to abandoned property, but you've got to establish it's been abandoned for a while. And, I mean, there are people that find sunken treasure of boats that sunk in, you know, the 1700s, where the governments of those countries like, hey,
that's ours.
That's ours. We're making a claim to that.
Queen Isabella, let's send that out. We want it back for Spain. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I think Cleve loses.
Okay.
On this
that's
case, Cleve loses.
Thank you, Todd, for that. Denise, what do you think about the matter of Daggerett versus Rolls and the matter of the Wave Queen?
Well, you got me thinking about, you know, the international waters. How far does it extend off the coast of a country? And there's some difference of opinions about that. And, you know, 15 miles would be 3 miles in international waters under some theories, but in others it's 24 miles. I mean, there's just right now customary international law is a little different on that issue. So I just think that you made it up.
Now, why would you think such an
I don't know. Just intuition.
Doesn't sound right, huh?
Doesn't sound
okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, first off, in Oregon, international waters are 12 miles, and apparently it does vary from state to state. I have a nephew who is in maritime law in Seattle, and I just talked to him a few months ago, and I said, so how's it going? He said, you know, I gave up driving from Bremerton into Seattle. I now take my boat across the,
nice.
Across the, so he commutes
beautiful.
To work in a powerboat. So I say,
beautiful.
Good for him, making me jealous. But anyway,
oh, that'd be nice.
He also told me about this scenario, which is
scenario.
Not a case.
Yeah.
Next hour, though, I want you to think about this one. Next hour, Michael Rowe and Microsoft. That's what we'll talk about next hour.
Did
on
you say
case,
no case?
No case?
I said no case.
Yep, no case.
So the
yeah.
only one that lost was Todd.
Well, did you see how much she relished that, Mr. Kunin?
I did. I, you know, but hey, I'm a giver. And well, today, it's my role to give points back, because
right.
I got a lot of points last week.
But next hour, again, I want you to think about Microsoft, Michael Rowe. Remember Mike Rowe, the dirty job
yes,
guy?
Yes, I
Mike
do.
Mike Rowe Soft. Just think about it. Coming up next hour on Radio Law Talk as we bring you Case or No Case. And that's Case or No Case for this hour.
So, here's an interesting thing. Is it time to go already, Cal?
We've got a minute, yeah.
All right, an interesting thing is about this Connecticut samurai sword dude. We're going to talk about him. By the way, if you look at his picture, he's a freaking big boy. And he claims, or his attorneys claim, that he has bipolar disorder, and what he did during the murder was not himself, but some other type of person.
Hmm.
We'll be back after this.
I used to claim that in school. My dad never believed me. Coming up, more Radio Law Talk with Fred Penny, Todd Kunin, Denise Dirks, the great all-star panel. We'll be back in just a little bit right here on this station. Stay tuned.
Radio Law Talk. legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
I've got to get my car washed, the dirt is gonna do. But I don't have no time today, I don't know what I do.
And I know this place right down the road, Quick Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this daddy shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car, Quick Car Wash. They'll have you looking.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Brad's the best.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
Oh, we're having a good time. We're talking about Doug, and we're live on the air. Connecticut college student. Now, this individual, he's going to University of Connecticut, I believe. I don't want to say that because I'm not sure what school. It's a school in Connecticut. He's 26 years old. Or maybe 25 at the time. In May of 2000, it was earlier than that. So he's 26 now, so the murders occurred May 22nd, 2020. So we're, yeah, you're talking, he was about 23. He's a big guy. He gets a samurai sword, and he just randomly goes in and breaks into someone's house, holds them hostage for 24 hours, kills a guy with the samurai sword, wounds another person. They talk to him about, okay, just leave, just go. So he gets out, and he goes in the truck and takes off, right? So he's already killed one guy with the samurai sword, wounded another. And then 2 days later, it says University of Connecticut student. That's the thing. So he shot another guy and then kidnaps the guy's girlfriend. He later released her in New Jersey. Then he's driving, cruising around, and they catch him in a truck stop, arrest him. So what's the defense to that? He pleads guilty. He pleads guilty.
He doesn't even go through trial.
And
honestly, his words are they're meaningful. They feel has actual remorse.
Yeah, well, I think this is what his attorney said. He said he suffers from bipolar disease, anxiety, and psychotic episodes, and that was a psychotic episode. And that's what we were talking about before. I think anybody that's going out murdering people has got psychotic episodes, right? But the judge didn't have any of it and slapped him with just this Thursday. So he was convicted a number of months ago. It was, I believe, February. They convicted him of murder, and the judge gave him 55 years. What is it, Todd, 225 year concurrent?
So what they did was for even one of them, he could have gotten 55 years. He got 55 years for both, but they run them concurrently as opposed to consecutive. Consecutive, 55, maybe that'd be 110 years.
Correct.
So by running them concurrently, they run them at the same
time. Side by side?
Yeah, at the same time, side by side. So I get the feeling that the judge took into consideration his mental health defense.
Absolutely.
Took into consideration that, but by the same token, he took the lives of people.
Well, with the samurai sword, too. Brutal.
In Connecticut, they had already gotten rid of the death penalty, so he wasn't looking at a death penalty. And he actually said in court that there's no words that can possibly atone for what I did. I'm so sorry. And he seemed to be very sorry and very understanding of his condition. And you know what,
I don't feel sorry for a guy I'm a bad person, maybe, because I do not feel sorry for him one bit.
Well, if anyone he hadn't have pled say, guilty, yeah. He might have had a defense.
Well, the thing is, what I'm trying to say is I could see having a psychotic. I get it. And I worry about crazy people just walking in wherever you are, anybody, and just go, I had a psychotic episode. I get that to some degree when he chops someone up with a samurai sword. But then later on, I'm thinking about this, maybe he kills another person. So it's not like, okay, I kind of went crazy for a little bit and had a psychotic episode. And I know some psychologists going, Mr. Penny, they can go on for weeks or
months.
2 weeks, months. And I get that, but I'm still not feeling sorry.
I knew somebody that believed he was in a game with a car, and he went and hit and killed a whole bunch of people
car. I believe that.
Because he, inside his mind, he was in that game.
Yes. No, I believe that. But then you got this families. It just ruined these families. Just absolutely, I don't know. I don't know. I feel for the families more than I do for the person with the psychotic episode.
Is mental capacity, that's a defense, right?
Well, it can be a defense. It looks, in this case, because he entered a plea, that the mental capacity was not used as a defense to what he did. It was used as a factor in mitigation to argue to the court what the appropriate sentence should be. So it's not, I'm not guilty because I have a mental defect. It is, this is why I shouldn't get life without parole. This is why I shouldn't get 110 years versus, and to his credit, and look, we only saw a portion of his statement.
Yeah, that's true.
But to his credit, when he made his statement, it wasn't reported that he used the mental health as any sort of an excuse. The lawyer could, and lawyers will do that. He was pretty focused on his statement. I'm sorry. Words will never be able to express how sorry I am, and I don't deserve forgiveness. I am sorry. He didn't say, I would never do this, but I was out of my mind, and it was during the pandemic, and it was
right.
He accepted responsibility, which is another factor that the court can consider, which is acceptance of responsibility without forcing to go through a trial.
He clearly had mental issues. I'm not disagreeing with that. I mean, someone that uses a samurai sword to walk in and break in someone's house and whack them all up for no reason, pretty much.
But do we sacrifice their lives on the altar of his mental illness? I mean, that's what I'm kind of hearing here, and I'm thinking,
no, I don't.
Whoa, that's a tough thing to consider. Right?
I don't see it like that.
I know. I get that. Yeah.
And I want to be clear. The mental illness was not used as a defense to the conduct. It was not used to say, I should not be found not guilty.
Or at least
I should not be exonerated of having done anything because of the mental illness. The only time it came up was, as the attorneys were arguing, the appropriate sentence under these circumstances is this. And I think the judge took all that into consideration and gave him 55 years.
Yeah, he could have, you know, been put in a mental institution, for example,
yeah,
right, and have to be there until he was competent to stand trial.
Right.
And the problem with the bipolar disorder is that it is never the same for every person. It is always different. And to be honest, there's not a whole lot of medications that will last for a person's lifetime to keep them normalized.
That's scary, though.
Yeah, it has
scary
to be compounded.
They're walking around.
Changed.
Yeah. We're walking around. We'll be back. Tough situation. We've got more coming up on Radio Law Talk right here on your local radio station in many cases. And if it's not there, it's always available at RadioLawTalk.com. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk. This is Radio Law Talk.
Marshals and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-721-4869. 800-721-4869. That's 800-721-4869.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-254-1639. 800-254-1639. 800-254-1639. That's 800.
USA News Update. Negotiators are getting closer to a deal to raise the debt ceiling and avoid a U.S. default. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said this morning it's important when that deal is reached that it's transparent.
This is something of the way our founders devised this country, right? People lend their voice to us, and we work to make sure their voice is heard. And at the end of the day, I think people should see what that product is before people vote on it.
He didn't go into any detail on what issues still separate Republicans and Democrats. Millions of Americans are on the move for the long holiday weekend. Memorial Day air travel at its highest level over the past 3 years. A TSA official says the agency expects to screen about 10 million passengers over the Memorial Day weekend. And consumers spent more in April. New government figures show consumer spending rose 0.8%, which is double what analysts had expected. It's also the biggest jump in consumer spending in 3 months. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
76.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
That is Armadillo.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
We're about ready to jump into the L.A. school lawsuit. That's very interesting, what happened, and sad. But we want to backtrack. We're talking about the samurai sword guy that claimed that he had bipolar disorder. He didn't. His lawyer claimed that pled guilty and got 55 years. Let's talk about the difference between competency and an insanity plea. Because don't forget, we're talking about the Lori Vallow case that's going on. In fact, we didn't follow up with any Vallow. It must not have been going on this week.
I sent you a little information, but there was...
Nothing much happened this
nothing
week.
Nothing earth-shaking. It was about her son.
Yeah.
It was about the one surviving
right.
child.
Who saw his sister's picture in the courtroom
right.
and said,
upset.
That's my sister, and that was...
Yeah, I know that. Okay. But anyway, we're going to talk about the competency, and that Lori Vallow was found incompetent to stand trial, then she was basically rehabilitated where she could be competent to stand trial. And then there's the insanity plea, the famous Hinckley, who came from a very wealthy family. Was it Hinckley or Hinckley?
Hinckley.
Hinckley that tried to kill President Reagan and actually...
Shot him.
And Brady was the Secretary of State?
Press Secretary.
What?
Press Secretary, yeah.
Yeah, and then he got shot in the head and he was paralyzed. Is he still alive? I'm not even sure if he's still alive.
I think he's passed, but the bill that came out of that was called the Brady Gun Bill.
Brady Gun Bill. And so let's talk about the difference between that, because we were talking during the break. We said we got to bring that up. Todd and Denise, you had a good conversation about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, the difference... I guess the best way to look at the difference between these two, because in Lori Vallow we heard that she was found incompetent to stand trial, and there's a lot of knee-jerk reaction from folks going, well, she clearly did it, and those are two different things. Incompetent to stand trial has to do with the mental state of the person while the trial proceedings, pre-trial, and then trial proceedings are going on. the insanity defense has.
Wait, doesn't it also tie to the constitutional rights of being able to assist counsel in your defense?
Yes.
So that's kind of where that right arises.
But my point is, we'll get to that in a second. My point is, at what point in time is the mental defect that we're talking about germane to the criminal proceedings? And the competency to stand trial deals with all of those issues, but it deals with the time while the trial is happening or pre-trial. It's why the criminal proceedings are going on. The insanity defense looks at the mental state of the individual at the time of the offense. Now, sometimes you'll have both. You'll have somebody that has insanity as a defense, and they're incompetent to stand trial because that competency was diminished the entire time.
Don't those type of people usually get then confirmed basically to a mental health institution or something?
So what happens is, let's take the competency to stand trial. This is Lori Vallow's case. She was deemed incompetent, not competent to stand trial because of her mental state. And what happens is, once the court makes the determination that a person is not competent to stand trial, then they go to a mental hospital, usually a state-run mental hospital, where they undertake to restore the person to competency. Once the person is, quote, restored to competency, and that's what happened with Lori Vallow, they then go back to the jurisdiction and they face trial. So that incompetency ruling on that issue does not work as a defense to the underlying crime itself. It just makes it so that they can participate and understand what's going on as the trial goes forward. You compare that to what Hinckley had, who shot former President Reagan. That was, he was mentally insane, legally insane at the time, to the extent that he could not be held accountable for his actions at the time of the offense. And, well, he was found not guilty of attempted murder of the president. Of the 1981 assassination attempt, he was found not guilty by reason of insanity because the jury believed that he was not in his right mind, that he was legally insane at the time and therefore not culpable for his conduct.
And he was also sent to a state mental health facility, and for a long time he didn't get out. And then you started to hear about, it was about 10 years ago, that he was getting weekend visits with his parents,
mm-hmm.
and people were all up in arms, how can he be out already, and all of that. And now I do think he's actually been restored to his parents, and he's living with his parents now, which a lot of people are upset about, but he now has had enough. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know he was having weekend visits with his parents.
Hmm.
So
yeah, I believe he was released recently.
Yes.
I want to say it was within the last year.
It has been fairly recent, yes. But he has been essentially released. I mean,
yes.
He's kind of out, yeah.
Yeah, he's out of the mental health facility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was, yeah, a federal judge ruled that he could be released. And that ruling came down in July of 2016. And look, after a judge makes that determination that somebody can be released, obviously there's a period there where you have to find the appropriate jurisdiction. I mean, it's not like they just open the doors and let somebody go. The determination that somebody can be released is usually what they don't say is released with conditions.
Yeah.
And they have to make sure that the environment that they go to is suitable and the public has an opportunity to object. It's quite a proceeding to
find appropriate living conditions. But they still probably have a probation officer that follows him around because he's probably on probation. Is he released or probably just on probation?
You know, that's a good question. Is there probation after you've been sent to a mental facility?
Well, it...
He has to report. I know. He has to report that he didn't wander so far, didn't go unsupervised. I mean, there are some conditions. At least there were back then, as I recall, but it's been a while. So.
And it was phased, that what we've heard recently, so that was in 2016.
Yeah.
It was phased. As of 2022, it was June 15th, 2022, he was fully released, no restrictions.
Yeah.
So he can move and go and anywhere.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. because I remember when that happened.
I do, too.
Oh, I do, too. I do, too.
41 years, 2 months, and 15 days.
Well, he served a long time.
And Jodie Foster still doesn't return his calls. I mean, this was the... It's so sad.
He did that to get the attention of Jodie Foster.
Isn't that weird?
I had forgotten all about it.
Yeah, that was his underlying thing.
Right? I would be difficult to let that guy...
Yeah, Jodie Foster maybe should...
I'll call him back.
Make sure she has security.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's mean. Ridiculous. Here we are making an assumption that
obviously.
But it just seems like the other day I don't know. Maybe it's me. It felt like the other day this happened.
I wonder if.
It's you, Fred.
I just wonder if at any time John Hinckley has seen Silence of the Lambs.
Good question.
Because what would happen if his idol, Jodie Foster, in a movie dealing with that subject matter. I would think if there's one movie that is on the do not watch list for him, I would think that would be it. But
wow,
who knows?
And the other one I wonder about is the assassin of John Lennon, Mark David Chapman. I don't know what became of him.
Oh, that's true. I wonder what happened. Did he get convicted?
Well, that was in England, wasn't it?
No, that was in New York.
He was in New York. And he was convicted.
Right across from Central Park.
Yeah, he was
right
convicted.
In his apartment.
I was watching Monday Night Football when the announcement was made.
Yeah. My husband still, that was his hero.
Yeah, I was working in a newsroom at the time, and, you know, obviously it was a four bell on the Associated Press and all of that, but
yeah.
I just don't recall whatever came of him. I was trying to Google
it. I don't remember either.
We'll look it up during the break and come back.
We will. We'll answer.
Really quick, in L.A., Los Angeles School District, there's a 13-year-old boy that is running during P.E. and falls down and collapses while jogging. They have great attempts to do CPR. It takes 12 minutes to get the paramedics there. The big issue is they have a defibrillator at the school that apparently the argument is by the plaintiffs and the parents sue the school district because they could have got the defibrillator, and there's dueling experts, obviously, but that they claim that could have saved their son, who died 2 years later. Basically, he was a vegetable because he didn't get enough oxygen to his brain and his organs. But he had a pre-existing medical condition is the argument. Well, they won a $15 million lawsuit. So
wow. The
question is, their argument was, that is the plaintiff's argument, is the principal did not notify the teachers that they had this device. That's their argument. And so very interesting. Make sure that those of you school people, if you have a defibrillator, know how to use it and help those kids out if they go down, because kids are going down. When we come back, we're going to talk about a 13-year post-burner of a spouse and why 13 years later this individual is being convicted. We'll be back.
Next on Radio Law Talk with Fred, Todd, and Denise. Stay tuned as the show continues.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any...
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your cake.
Are you serious?
This is Radio Law Talk.
All right, we're back to talk about a 13 years ago, about a death that now a murder charges were brought. By the way, shout out to... We know. I think it's Keith from Alaska called in and asked a question, but thanks for calling in, Keith. And Cal Hunter was able to talk to him. So here's the situation. The situation is, in April 2010, a 911 dispatcher gets this call, and this is in St. Paul, Minnesota, and the frantic calls from a Heidi Furcus. Heidi Furcus is 25. She's married to a guy by the name of Nick Furcus, who's 27. She says someone's breaking into her home. And next thing you know, that's then a call back that it is by the husband, Nick Furcus, and says, my wife's been shot. Somebody broke into our house. And I've been shot. And he's been shot in the thigh. Heidi dies. She's murdered. Well, she dies and supposedly, you know, murdered by this person or whoever. But as they come and they do an investigation, they find this is a follow the story. They find it kind of suspicious because there's no real proof of any breaking and entering. They take the dogs. They start looking around the neighborhood, around the area. There's no proof of footprints or breaking and entering. Everything just seems a little bit, you know, weird. Now, his argument is, how does his wife get shot? It wasn't by the people breaking in. It was the struggle and the fight.
Yeah.
His shotgun, quote, discharges and hits his wife and hits him during this struggle. And as he claimed, where he claimed the people broke and entered, there was an absolute, like, pristine scene. They had a table right at the entry where they said that where he was claiming they broke in. That was not, you know, disheveled, not hit, not pushed. It was in the same spot, right? You think if there's a fight going on over the gun, there would have been, you know, thrown into a table and something would have happened.
Well, they could have been obsessive compulsive burglars that, you know, wanted to keep the area neat.
Yes, I'm sure. Sure. Yeah, and his defense lawyer, by the way, the defense lawyer of this husband, and I'm going to tell you when this defense comes up, said, "Oh, well, the burglar had gloves on, and therefore gloves on and one other thing, but everything was so tidy." And just, you know, just perfect. And he describes it as a black male. And they said, okay, then why don't you come on in and do a drawing of what this black male looked like? And all of a sudden his attorney said, which he has the right to do, I'm not talking anymore. But the attorney and the client, they have a sketch artist of themselves send in the sketch. And it looked like this actual individual. Some lady called up and says, it looks like this man that has been burglarizing the area, which he had. But guess what? He had been incarcerated at the time of this incident. So there's no way he could have. So they said, no, it wasn't that guy. So let's jump forward. He gets remarried. They don't charge him with anything. This is a cold case. He gets remarried to this other gal. And by the way, We got to back up 1 second. At the time of this incident of the first wife, they are about ready to lose their house. And the thing is, the prosecutor's argument is that was what his issue was. He didn't want to be embarrassed to tell people he was going to lose the house.
Because they were about ready to lose the house, but the deceased, the wife who died, knew nothing
right.
of the financial difficulties. Nobody knew that their finances were in such a shambles
right.
that they were about to lose their house.
They actually were going to be evicted.
That's right. That's right. And
the next day.
Yeah, the very next day.
And this happens where his wife ends up dead.
Wow. Okay, now, wow. Fast forward, he gets remarried. Has 3 children with his wife,
yes.
And it's 13 years later.
He meets his second wife 2 months after his first wife
yep.
was killed.
I wonder if he put the incident on his Tinder profile.
Well, at least it wasn't at the funeral. I mean, really.
Well, that's, yeah.
Could have been much worse.
Well, good for him. So what he does is 13 years later, he has this, he doesn't get married, but right soon afterwards, he gets married to this gal, has 3 kids. 13 years later, they're having financial difficulties again.
Right. His parents had bought them a house, and the
right.
deal was, you guys pay the property taxes.
That's it. That's
all you have to pay, property taxes. And guess what? He didn't pay the property taxes.
And they're about ready to be kicked out again.
Wow.
And so what does the new wife say to herself? You know, this sounds a little familiar to the first wife.
Hmm.
And what happened to the first wife? She got offed by, quote, somebody. So she says, I'm going to get out of here, and divorces him.
Now I do want to say one thing. As far as the timing is concerned, it was actually along around 2017, 2018 that they start having financial difficulty, he and his new wife.
Right.
They divorced in 2018.
Right.
And it was after this, She reported to the police, ultimately, when the police started looking into this, a very interesting conversation she had with her husband
right.
when she found out that despite the agreement they had with the parents and how the bills were going to be paid for the house and everything, that they were in financial trouble about to lose the house, and she confronts her husband with it.
Right.
And
records him, by the way.
And records him and says, And she said, this is her to him, she says, the fact that you're lying was so easy for you to do in front of me over and over and over makes me think, at which point he cuts her off and says, that I could murder my wife.
Ooh.
And she says, yes.
Wow.
And
that's huge.
Isn't it?
That's so close to being an admission.
Yeah.
Right? An admission of guilt. So close.
So they open it back up in 2019, the investigation.
So
of
she
the
calls
first
the cops
death.
After this conversation.
Right.
Is that what happened? Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So they reopen it. They reach out to the FBI, and they do a reconstruct sound data from the 911 call to see, you know, he's calling like, you know, there's someone's breaking in. And she calls first, and then he calls. And sure enough, there is basically silence in the background other than the two people that were there. There's no evidence of any sound. Someone breaking in, someone walking, someone else, nothing.
And here, think about the perfect scenario. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I say to my husband, honey, somebody's breaking in the house. You call the cops. I'm going to go get my gun. Right? Well, and then he calls 911 and says, somebody's breaking in the house, and then I use my gun to kill him.
Now, here's
that's
the
like
thing.
A pretty good scenario.
And yeah. That is, but how did he get her to call?
Call 911. I'm going to get my gun.
Oh, okay. That's probably why she's probably saying someone. He probably told her, "Hey,
call
someone's breaking
911.
In," and that's why she did that.
You can see now. This is where I'm hypothesizing here. But if they're both in bed asleep, and he wakes her up and says, "I heard somebody downstairs."
Right.
You know, everything she is saying is based upon what he would have told her.
Correct.
That makes sense.
So,
I mean, it actually is kind of a. I hate to say this, but it was kind of a brilliant scheme. I mean, honestly,
but for
the victim to call 911.
But for the fact that it's rife with motive once the financial dealings come out, and here's
doesn't it smell like Murdaugh?
Exactly. I was. Yes, I remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Murdaugh, and I even said, I don't know. You kill your wife and son because you want to throw the dogs off the.
Did he have a son at the time? Did they have one? I don't think they had a.
I don't.
Murdaugh.
My issue with Murdaugh was really your theory is he killed his wife and son because he was having financial trouble. Who would do that? Well,
this guy maybe.
This guy's being charged with that very scenario.
But the next question is, did they still get kicked out of the house after the murder? What
did
the
killing
solve?
He bought time.
Oh, I see.
So here's the...
It was a crime scene, remember?
When we come back, we got the end of this and what happens. It does come to a head, and we're going to tell you what happens. So stick with us. Hour three, we're going to drop the bomb as to what happened. It's very interesting.
So much good stuff coming your way on Radio Law Talk. Don't miss any of it. If your radio station locally gives way and does not carry the third hour, just go over to RadioLawTalk.com. And if your station carries it in off hours, please remember, you can hear the show live anytime at RadioLawTalk.com, 9 to noon every Saturday, Pacific time, 9 to noon, and it's all free. That's all on RadioLawTalk.com. And we'll be back.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims, and we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.